How far we've come. The Three Explorers Crossing is a dinkum Aussie yarn, the kind that comes right after that laconic, "How you gone?" A case of Chinese whispers that our nation glorifies. Mark Twain said that our history reads like beautiful fresh lies. It's likely that they weren't the first, but were the best for sure. A well-planned business venture by three men who wanted more has since become a legend. And it's replicated still. A story that's familiar. Free resources, use at will. Of course, it wasn't perfect. Their provisions got quite low. They had no maps, no certainty, weren't sure which way to go, and lost the pathway back. A trap for all those who explore. And many Europeans did. Let's see who'd gone before. Compassionate Will Dawes despised ill treatment and corruption and kept the count of paces walked in spite of interruption. The first white man in Lyndon, an astronomer, marine, surveyor, engineer and native linguist in between. Then Patterson, a Scotsman and an officer of note, tried hard to cross the mountains in, now wait for it, a boat. Another daring doer that the mountains soon sent packing was Sirius's quartermaster, tippler Henry Hacking. Ex-convict Matthew Everingham explored the northern side and may have reached Mount Wilson, though it's tricky to decide. Some Sydney cattle quickly gained their freedom from the plough, so first non-native crossed the mountains, could have been a cow. Then Matthew Flinders' mate, George Bass, thought he might have a go with ropes and hooks for hands and feet. His route we still don't know. But later on he found Bass Strait and sailed with other men, then risking trade in Spanish seas was never seen again. A ranger of the bush was surely first white crossed the range. Once freed, John Wilson carried out a cultural exchange. He learnt some native ways and words, traversing lots of ground. The governor thought he could help stop rumours getting round. A group of Irish convicts scored this man as mountain guide to prove to them that China wasn't on the other side. No China nor utopia was found whilst in the bush, but Wilson reached near Goulburn when he made a second push. So Wild Man Wilson found a way around the mountain wall, but no one followed up, and he gained no acclaim at all. His journey was forgotten. He went bush. Within 2 years, abduction of a woman meant he died from native spears. Baralia, an architect, surveyor, engineer, decided using depots may just conquer this frontier. He met with Aboriginals, his journey still enthralls, but ended in frustration, staring up at waterfalls. George Cayley was a botanist and labelled with this jewel.
If born a gentleman, would have been shot whilst in a duel.
His effort was amazing, with its constant up and down, described as like traversing tops of houses in a town. A campfire error by his men could hardly be applauded. Description of that bushfire may have been our first recorded. Then as he reached Mount Banks, expecting nature to submit, he saw the gaping canyon, and I reckon he said, bother. Well, these are trips we know about. There may have been some more. By 1813, kids grew up with bushland at their door. So all of these explorers helped to build up information. The crossing was a process, with advances and frustration. A mountain map existed too, before the white man came. A detailed web of stories, landscape features, plants and game. Some parts were shown to white folks, who would never understand. Subduing nature's not the same as living with the land. But Blaxland, Lawson, Wentworth were the first to do it right. They marked their way, showed stock could pass, and pastures were in sight. They hadn't found extensive plains. There still was much to do, but as respected gentlemen, did all they needed to. Macquarie said,
"Yeah, right. Now you'll tell me China's there."
"Oh, well, there's Lithgow pottery, but that's more earthenware."
Macquarie was compelled to follow up on their report, but breaching of his prison's wall was not a pleasant thought. Political conditions, chance of economic gain, available resources and adventure can't contain enthusiastic businessmen who have a prophecy, and then their vested interests help dictate the policy. Now, does that sound familiar? It seems nothing much has changed. Some short-term gain with long-term pain. Can't that be rearranged? The toll on Aboriginals cannot be quantified. The ignorance, the shameful deeds were never justified. The Three Explorers' journey caused a freedom of the mind for Sydney Europeans who no longer felt confined. And now I wonder, have we made ourselves another trap, locked in to sap resources and ignore the looming slap? So let's reflect on what's been lost, both beautiful and strange. But like the Three Explorers, have a vision, things can change. Our vision, like an ancient culture, never should succumb. Let's ask ourselves the question, really, how far have we come?